encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're continuing tonight in our study of a preacher for the times, a life study of John the Baptist. I want to go back. We've already looked at his ministry. We've looked at John the Baptist's call. We've looked at his particular purpose as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And I want to go back to the beginning because the Bible gives us the announcement, the birth announcement of John the Baptist. You know, there's nothing more exciting for a parent to have their first child, to go to the doctor and find out you're going to have a child. You know, back in the days when we were having our children, we didn't have social media. Some of you don't remember that, but that was actually the case. And I remember that when we were so excited, we found out we were going to have a boy. We didn't have gender reveals back in those days. You know, now they have a blue balloon that they blow up, or you know, they'll throw something against the wall and it's blue powder and goes everywhere and say, "Oh, it's a boy." Back in those days, we just said, "We'll just tell everybody." All right, and we were so excited when we found out that we were going to have Gregory. My wife was 30 and I was 29 at the time. And we were so excited that we were going to have a boy. And we went down and we printed up, had these birth announcements printed up. That's old school for those of you that do all the social media stuff. We did it old school way. We printed up a birth announcement and sent it out to all of the family and friends and so forth like that. The rest of the kids didn't get that treatment. There's just something about the first one. You know, you always do a lot of pictures. Matter of fact, Elizabeth has come to us on a number of occasions and said, "How come you didn't take any pictures of me growing up? You got 1,000 of Gregory, and you got like 3 of me growing up." Well, that's just the way it is. How many of you have experienced that with your families? All right, yeah. The first one, I mean, everything gets a picture of them. You know, the first time that they slept through the night, we got a picture of that. And, you know, the first steps, we got that on video. And we've got the first everything. Detailed to the nth degree. And then we have the second one, and we're so tied up with two, we don't have time to take as many pictures. And so Brian didn't get the full treatment like Gregory did, and we got to Jonathan, and I don't know, did we take any pictures of Jonathan growing up? Not very many. And when it got down to Elizabeth, we'd given up totally on that kind of stuff. You know, we've got boxes of pictures and stuff when the kids were little, but we weren't very good about it. And by that time, they got into middle school. We now had smartphones and stuff, so we had a lot of pictures stored on our phones and things of that nature. Don't know how to access them, but we put them on the phones and so forth like that. But the very first time that you hear the news, you're going to have a boy or you're going to have a baby, and the excitement that just thrills your soul, you know, something you've dreamed about. I know I did. You know, I dreamed about, first of all, getting married. I dreamed a long time about that, all right? It didn't seem like it was going to happen. And then the Lord directed my wife to come, and I was able to meet her, and we got engaged and got married, and then the next thing you dream about is having a child. You're so excited about that. Well, I want you to know that there's a couple in the Scripture that wanted to have a child so badly, and it just had not happened. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth had wanted a child for all of their adult years together. Let's read beginning at verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord." Notice that word next, blameless. I wonder if we could have that testimony said about us, blameless. That's just amazing, is it not? What a testimony these two, who had lived together in marriage, serving the Lord, both of them, were descendants of those that served in the temple, served in the tabernacle. She was from the family of Aaron, and Zacharias from Abijah. So they've got this heritage. But not only did they have the heritage of what they did, but there was a heritage there of what they were as individuals. Do I hear an amen? of what they were. They were righteous people. They were blameless before God. But they didn't have any children. They didn't have any children. You know, I've lived longer now with children than I lived before. I was around children all the time. Growing up, my mom and dad always had kids in our house. My mom babysat everybody in Milton. I believe we had so many different. I see kids today that are now in their 30s and 40s that my mom babysit whenever they were growing up. And I played army with them. And we played all kinds of games with those kids. And now they're in their 40s now. And every once in a while they say, "Hey, you remember when we used to take tennis balls and we set up all those army men in the living room? And the bomb was the tennis ball. And you could roll it and take out as many men as you wanted to. Or you could do the bounce drop." That's what I did. Take them out with a bounce. Jump up in the air and go in there and just roll around and get a bunch of them. And we played army with a lot. I was around kids a lot growing up. Not to mention my brother and sister. All right? And we had a lot of good times. And we're still very close. We still talk. My sister will every once in a while call me. And she'll say, "You remember when we did that?" You know, we'll talk about some of the crazy stuff that we did and the bicycles that we had and things of that nature. So I was around kids all the time. Christian school, camp, baseball program, growing up playing. We were around kids all the time. And then the Lord called me to a ministry of working with children. Christian education. Wasn't necessarily thinking about that when I was in college. I wasn't really thinking about Christian education. I was thinking more of going into the pastorate and maybe being an assistant pastor or youth pastor or something. But the Lord had a different purpose for me. And He wanted me to be involved with children. People, and I found this to be the case, and I've known so many couples through the years that just could not have children, that desired to have children and wanted to have children. And in some cases, God allowed them to adopt. In some cases, God did not give them children. And they lived without them. And I've often thought, you know, if the Lord had had that for us, for Beth and I, how we could have handled that, you know, not having children, because the Lord gave us four. And now we have a grandchild. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And to think about this couple, this godly couple that desired to have children. You know how I know that they desired to have children? I want you to look with me, please, at verse 13. "But the angel said unto him," that's Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." They wanted a child, and God gave them one. Now, they were up in years. The Bible makes that very clear as well. They were well up in years. And yet God allowed them in their later years to have a son, and God told them what the name was going to be. You know, it's an amazing thing about suggestions for names. How many of you already had the names of your children mapped out before you ever had children? Anybody? All right. My wife and I had already decided, you know, if we have a boy, we're going to have this name. We had names all written out, and they all had to blend, all right? My wife was into blending names. Well, that doesn't go together. And so I had a couple of names that I was pairing up that didn't go together. I didn't know that until she told me. And so that ended that desire. But we had our names all fixed up and what they were going to be. And we had Gregory Keith, and we had Brian Matthew. We had Jonathan Wesley, and we had Elizabeth Joy. We already had the girls' names, and we had a couple of other names too, if the Lord had given us more children that we had in our list of names. One of them was going to be Alexander. I think the Lord heard that and said, "I'm not giving them an Alexander." That would just not. Alexander Brainerd sounds like a ship captain or something like that, you know. And so the Lord didn't give us an Alexander, but my wife loved that name, and right? Or was that me? Yeah, it was her. I don't remember anymore. But, you know, the choosing of names. But imagine someone coming up to you and says, "You're going to have a child, and his name shall be..." Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'll do the naming, thank you. I had a person that came to me and said, "I just don't understand why your first child is not Brian Todd Brainerd II. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, the earth can't handle two. I said, I would never do that to a child. Give them my name. Now, that's perfectly fine if you did that for your children, if you're a junior or a second or a third or fourth or fifth or whatever it is. I just had no desire, and neither did my wife, amazingly. All right? Just didn't want to do that. So we chose not to do that. By the way, can you find one person in the Bible that has the same name as their parent? I would challenge you. I went through and did a study one time, trying to find, was there a junior? Was there an Abraham Junior? All right? Was there an Adam the Second? No. They all had what? Different names, because they had a purpose behind the naming of their children. All right? And so, anyway, that's just an interesting side note there. But the angel of the Lord comes to Zacharias, who was carrying out his temple duty. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He had been praying. Can you imagine that moment? It was his time to serve in the temple. And his job was to be there where the room was, where the incense was offered. And that was his job, to make sure that the candles continued to burn, that the oil was put into the lamps. That was his responsibility. And while he was there praying, I'm sure maybe with his eyes closed, I don't know for sure, but he was startled, the Bible says. And he saw the individual, the angel that was standing there, and the angel said what all angels say first. What is it? Be not afraid. Okay? I think every angel in the Bible says that. Be not afraid. When the shepherds were in the fields abiding with their sheep, the angels appeared and they said, be not afraid. All right? We're all afraid of angels. Be not afraid. I've got news for you. Your prayer has been answered. Isn't that wonderful to get the news that your prayer has been answered? Let me share a good news thing that I just heard while we were praying over here. Ryan shared this, that Nathaniel got his test back, the 17-year-old, and the cancer has been taken care of. Those treatments that he's had, the last three rounds of treatments, they found no cancer. Now, they're going to continue to watch and test and so forth like that, but you talk about an answer from the Lord. And my prayer for Nathaniel is, all right, Lord, help Nathaniel to see that his life has been spared for a reason. Help him to know that reason and to know the call of God upon his life, to be able to carry out whatever that reason is, that he'll carry out the purpose that God has spared his life to accomplish. The answer to prayer. Your prayer has been answered. And the answer to the prayer was a little boy who would be named John, who would get the surname John the Baptist that would be supplied later on. John the Baptizer is really the way that the Greek reads concerning his name. He would be the forerunner. And this is what's interesting about our passage. Let's continue to read, beginning at verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Isn't that good news? You're going to have joy, and you're going to have gladness. And many will rejoice with you when this boy is born. You know, that was an obvious statement of God to this man and this woman, Zacharias and Elizabeth, that their boy is going to survive childhood and is going to move to adulthood, and he's going to carry out the purpose that God has for him. That's knowledge that not all of us know. We don't know how long our children have on this earth. You think about little William, who passed away. Had no knowledge when he was born how long he would live. It's not easy to accept that kind of news. But here we have the statement of God. He shall bring gladness and joy, not only to you, but to those who see him and know him. Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now this is new news. this boy is going to have the Nazirite vow. Now, most people that took the Nazirite vow only did it for a period of 30 days, maybe up to a year maximum. But we have several instances of the Bible of individuals who are Nazirites for their entire life. Samson is one. We read here of John the Baptist, who was a Nazirite from birth all the way through his adult years. And so that helps us to understand the clothing, the aloneness that John felt, because it was a shame for a man to what? To have long hair. And so he was not accepted by everyone because of the vow that he was given. And he didn't have a choice in the matter. God said, this is what's going to happen. You know, I get weary of hearing people talk about, well, I didn't choose that. Well, there's a lot of things that we don't get to choose, all right? I didn't get to choose how much taxes I had to pay last year. Did I get to vote on that? I don't think so. I didn't choose my height. If I was in the choosing thing, I would have chose dark, tall, dark, and handsome, all right? Missed out on all three. But that's just, I wasn't in the choosing part of that. If I had chosen, I'd have been an athlete. Get to play basketball and dunk the basketball, you know. Be the star. Didn't make that either. You see, there's a lot of things in life, young people and adults, that we don't get to choose. It's just the lot that we are given in life. And so what do? Sit around whining about the fact that we didn't get to choose? I didn't get to choose. I wish I wasn't a male. I wish I was a female. Well, guess what? You be what God made you and get over your choice problem. You just be what God made you to be. That was the greatest lesson I learned. I was the smallest kid in my class. And boy, I wanted to be popular. I wasn't. I wanted to be big and strong. I wasn't. And my mom, I remember whenever I broke her height, of 5 foot. Boy, I thought I had reached the heavens whenever I was eye to eye with Mom. And she said, stop worrying about what you look like. Stop worrying about everybody else and what they look like. You just be Todd Brainerd, whatever that is. You just be it and be happy that God made you. You're alive. Well, you know, when you start looking at that perspective, I could be something else. I could have been like some of the kids that I had in my class that couldn't run. I had little Billy was in our class who had battled polio as a child and as a result could not walk except with metal braces and crutches. Oh, he longed to kick a ball. I sat out there, we'd roll the ball to him, and he would have to use his crutch to hit the ball because he couldn't kick. We watched him. The joy that came on him whenever he would try to run to first base, never making it. He wanted to be just like everybody else, but God made him what he was. And he became very successful in life. He has run WUWF radio station for years and years. Been the chief managing officer there. I think he's still there, but for years he was there. Billy was a testament to me about always being happy. The boy was always happy. And you looked at him and said, Billy, you got so many problems. You can't walk without crutches. The noise that I remember as an elementary student was the noise of Billy coming in the building and hearing the clanking noise as he made his way to the classroom, sat down in the chair, the old metal chairs that we sat in, desks, the metal would clank on it. I didn't have that problem. I was just worried about whether I was going to have a girlfriend. I was worried about if I was going to be popular. Billy couldn't walk without crutches. You see, you start learning things when you grow up and you realize that I've got so much to be thankful for. So I need to stop worrying about that. I need to stop worrying about that. I used to worry about my hair. I didn't have any. We had crew cuts and flat tops from the time I was born. And whenever I, in sixth grade, Mom said, you know what, boys, when you reach sixth grade, I'm going to let your hair grow out. Now, we didn't know what that meant. And when we found out, I'm going to let your hair grow out, our hair didn't know what to do. I remember I had Brill Cream. Anybody remember Brill Cream? And they had this pink stuff that was down there at the barber shop. I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was pig grease colored pink or what. But Mom would smear it up in our hair because our hair, when it finally grew out, it didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to part it. And every place I tried to part it, it didn't part. It was just sticking up all over the place. And I remember trying to keep it down and just lathering it with Brill Cream so I could keep it down. Because for years, it was crew cuts. You walked in there, it was shaved off. And we did have more than Ben. Ben, did you have a lot of crew cuts when you were little? That's what happened. I think if Mom had continued that, I'd have lost every stitch of hair that I had. But, you know, as a child, I worried about that. Am I going to have to keep getting a crew cut while all the other guys have their hair parted down the middle and look so cool? I mean, I'm embarrassed. I don't have any hair. And then it grew out. Then I was really embarrassed because it wouldn't do what I wanted it to do. Now, let me just say this, folks. Here's a man and a woman who had prayed to God that He would give them a child. And God said, yes, I'm going to give you a son. His name will be John, and he's going to be a Nazarite for his entire life. And you know what I find absent from the pages of Scripture? Is any complaint. Isn't that wonderful? No complaints. Well, God, we had a different name picked out. We were going to go with Zacharias II. Or we were going to go with our great-grandfather's name. That's what we were going to name John. And you say John, that just doesn't fit in with our family naming scheme that we have. No, his name's going to be John. Yes, sir. And he's going to be a Nazarite. You know what that meant? It meant that for their entire life they were to abstain from all alcoholic beverages. They were not to touch the fruit of the vine. It also meant that they were never to cut their hair. Their hair would be long, which would set them apart from everybody else that was there. They were not to touch anything that was dead. They were not to touch with their hands anything that was dead. They were to remain separate from that. Not one complaint from Mom and Dad. Now, I say this to make this point, that you and I don't know what God has in store for our children. But I do know this, that God expects us to train our children as if they are going to be God's for all their life and for all eternity. We're to teach them and train them in the gospel, to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. So they hear the name of Jesus from the time that they're born until they leave your home. The name of the Lord Jesus, and that we live a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're in church so they can hear the Word of God, so they can always have that with them. That's what John got, because his parents were righteous people and they were blameless. This was the heritage that John was born into, and I want you to know something, it's a good heritage. It's a good one. I've listened to people. I was speaking to a young man this week who grew up playing ball out here. His daddy died when he was 5 years old. The boy was five playing preteen. His dad asked permission. He was dying of cancer. If he could pull his truck up behind the little preteen field that we used to have out there before Field 6 was built. We had a little small field out there. And he would pull up behind. I had to umpire many times during those times, and I would see him sitting down in his truck. He was wasting away. He was a big man, 6'3". By the time he died, he was under 100 pounds. But he would come and watch his little boy play ball until he passed on. Well, after that, there was all kinds of difficulties and problems. After he passed away and all that kind of stuff. And then the young man got involved after high school, got involved with things that he should not get involved with. The next thing you know, he's in prison. Serving time. And I ran into him. We talked for just a little bit. You see, while he was in prison, I wrote him letters at the request of his mom. And I wrote him a lot. I would give him the gospel. Hey, I just want you to know that your mom and your stepdad are very concerned for you and praying for you every day. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And he stopped me as I was walking out. He was coming in. I shook his hand. And he said to me, he said, thank you for the letters. He said, I didn't like them at the time. It bothered me that you were blunt in the letters. And I was. I was. His mama was very concerned for him. And I said, you know, you're going to get out one day. And you're going to have to live with the legacy that you've given. What are you going to give your kids? He has four. What are you going to give your kids when you get out? Are you going to give them the problems that you've had? Or are you going to give them a life that's centered in Jesus Christ? A life that's centered in church, faithfully attending. What are you going to give them? Because they've missed you for the last several years. And he thanked me. He said, thank you for the letters, Mr. Brainerd. I appreciate that. I said, I couldn't say that years ago, but now I can say it. You see, folks, the heritage of a godly home is a gift that many of us here in this building have received. Not everybody has been given that. But I'm thankful for the heritage of a Christian home that I grew up in. And I'm thankful that John the Baptist had that. His mom and dad loved the Lord. They were righteous people. And that was the heritage that he was given. And John the Baptist received it. Not just because mom and dad were believers, because he himself sought the Lord himself and became the forerunner to where Jesus said of John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. That was Jesus' testimony about John the Baptist. That didn't happen by accident. It happened because he had a godly mom and dad that brought him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what we need to give our children. That's what we need to give our grandchildren. We don't need to give them a lot of gifts and presents and spoil them with money and all those things. That'll ruin them. What they need is a godly heritage. And it's our job to give it to them. They're not going to get it from the world. It has to come from godly parents and godly parents just constantly giving them the truth. Giving them the truth, living a life before them that's honest and sincere, that speaks of Jesus Christ and the transformation that's taking place within our own hearts and lives. That's the John the Baptist of the Bible and the home that he was given, which prepared him to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the time that we've had together tonight. We thank you for the heritage of John the Baptist. What a gift he was given. Yes, he became well known. He went before kings. His own life would be snuffed out by a princess. But he was a man who loved thee. He was a man who went before thy son, Jesus Christ, and paved the way, made the pathway straight, so that others might know that Jesus was indeed the Messiah that had come to die on Calvary's tree. Lord, I pray we might take to heart some of the things that we read in Luke chapter 1, and that we might be found righteous, that we might be found blameless as we live our lives before our children and our grandchildren. Lord, I pray that you would teach us thy way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.